Guys.
Seated, please.
Court is ready to hear argument in 10, matter 96, Lancer Insurance Company versus Garcia Holiday Tours and others.
May it please the court, Mr. Bishop will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. Does a business automobile insurance policy cover tuberculosis? In the course of over a quarter of a century of handling literally thousands of transportation claims, the people at Lancer Insurance Company not only had never had such a claim, they'd never heard of such a claim. And there's probably a good reason for that. One of the things that the lawyers in this case all agree upon, and the Court of Appeals even noted, is that there is no reported case, not one, holding that a business auto policy covers tuberculosis.
Why would it cover a bullet, or why would it cover a child in a hot car? I mean, these are very kind of esoteric questions here.
And I hope that the chart we have presented to the court helps answer that question. That brings us to Chief Justice Jefferson, the analysis that is set forth in Mid-Century versus Lindsay, which is one of the cases that you talked about. And it also brings us to the analysis in the Aisha's Daycare Center case, most recently this court's analysis of the factors that determine use coverage was found in the Global Intercom case. And the simple answer to your question is this. When we deal with a non-traditional use, it's clear that buses get involved in accidents. Sometimes individuals get hurt entering onto or alighting from buses. But when it comes to something a bit more esoteric, as you describe, like a gunshot wound or a suffocation incident, then we have to apply essentially three questions that have to be asked and have to be answered in favor of the plaintiff before there can be a recovery on the insurance policy. And the first one is, did the accident arise out of the inherent nature of the auto, in this case a bus, as such? There's nothing about a bus that's inherent with tuberculosis.
What was the accident?
Good question. I think that the allegation was that the driver accidentally infected persons with tuberculosis. And of course, you're going to say, but where was that traceable to a specific date, time, and place? It's not. But assuming that there is such a thing as an accidental infection with tuberculosis, a bus may well be a conduit. I don't dispute that, and I think we'll see a factor in just a moment that tells us why being a conduit is not enough. But frankly, so is your office, so is a classroom, so is a Subway restaurant.
Yeah, but perhaps your procedures engaged so that when you make a hire, that the person is medically tested to make sure he doesn't have an infectious disease. And so I understand that wasn't done here.
Good point. Excellent point. And that, Justice Medina, is a classic general liability insurance policy risk. Remember, this is a transportation insurance risk. This doesn't cover that. And as you'll see in a few moments, this company really didn't have general liability insurance. They instead purchased a very limited premises liability policy in Corpus Christi that did not cover any of the actions of their employees, including making people sick.
Well, let me ask you, the passengers have argued that the bus's air conditioning system made it easier for the virus to spread around the bus. Now, how can you, I mean, if that's true, didn't it result from the use of the vehicle?
It did not, and two reasons. I started with that factor where I said, look, there are things that are inherent in a bus that are dangerous. Carbon monoxide poisoning is one of them. I've defended those cases, but not tuberculosis. Buses don't have tuberculosis. They can't in and of themselves create tuberculosis. They can't in and of themselves infect with tuberculosis. And what's critical about the question that you answer, or that you ask, Justice Lehrman, and I'll try to answer, is this. One of the additional factors that we have to satisfy as a result of the Mid-Century versus Lindsay test is this. The bus must not merely contribute to cause the condition which produces injury, an air conditioning system which allows the tubercular germs to be circulated through the bus. It must not merely contribute to cause the condition which produces the injury, but it must itself produce the injury. And Justice Heck ruled quite clearly on behalf of the majority of the court in the Mid-Century versus Lindsay case that if the incident could have occurred, the infection with tuberculosis could have occurred, regardless of the vehicle, the court seemed to be consistent in holding there is no coverage under a vehicle liability policy. And we know from the record that not only were there instances where these people were not in a vehicle, remember this is a two-day trip. They're on the bus for a couple of hours going from Alice to Corpus Christi to San Antonio Fiesta, and 2 hours going back, but there was constant interaction with this driver outside of the bus. The actual record in this case demonstrated, just in the case of a couple of individuals, Maria Guerra said the only time she ever noticed the bus driver was when they were at the mall.
Well, the Court of Appeals noted all of that, but said there's a fact issue about whether some of these passengers contracted the disease on the bus or outside, and that you didn't certainly conclusively establish that the transmission occurred outside the bus. What do you say to that?
Well, it clearly occurred outside of the bus, or some of it occurred outside of the bus, in at least three different persons. Maria Guerra, Ms. Marisol Salazar, who saw the bus driver at the hotel, was coughing in a cell phone, and her boyfriend heard it on the other end. And in the case of an individual by the name of Danielle Calhoun, again outside of the bus, saw the driver smoking and coughing.
There was no question that there was interaction outside the bus, but did you conclusively establish that any tuberculosis that the plaintiffs claimed that they had was contracted outside of the bus and not inside, conclusively?
Well, there's two answers to that, and one of them I'm going to defer on because it deals with the duty to defend rule and the pleadings precluding. But this was a no evidence motion for summary judgment in addition to a traditional evidence. And the burden to establish coverage, Chief, falls upon the plaintiff. It is their obligation to show not that it could have happened, but it did happen not only on the bus, but because of the bus. And I challenge all the members of the court to take this bus driver, this fellow traveler, off the bus and use any other driver.
Well, not a fellow traveler. He wouldn't be on that bus but for his employment with the bus line.
He was. And there's no allegation that he did anything wrong in the operation of that bus.
Let me ask you this. You said this is covered by a premises liability policy.
No, a general liability policy.
CGL. Okay, if this bus had asbestos in it during its manufacture or placed in later, and these passenger got mesothelioma or asbestos-related disease, would there be coverage on the duty to defend in that issue?
I think there could be. Where the bus is transformed, as we've seen in these cases involving kitchens in buses, or in the case that you cite of asbestos used to heavily coat the bus, then that becomes a risk inherent in the bus itself. But you see, tuberculosis just doesn't work that way.
It's by placing a driver that may have had tuberculosis, how's that any different? You're making an addition to the bus, and that addition here is the driver.
Well, the difference is, Justice Medina, the driver in and of himself certainly can infect people. But that's not a transportation risk. That's something that we're all exposed to. I'm exposed to in this particular room. And when we're talking about how is this insured, this being an auto liability policy, in this case a bus liability policy, the third prong of that test says it's a hard prong. Let me be blunt with you, but it's supposed to be hard. It says the bus itself must produce the injury. And I submit to the court that this driver could have been standing still, as was the case in the drive-by shooting cases, or the driver could have been anywhere and infected these people, but not the bus. And again, Mr. Chief Justice, coming back to your question, there are incidents, and this chart, I think, fairly well demonstrates the incidents that demonstrate where there is, in fact, no coverage. When you get above this red line, There simply is no coverage. And the first analysis is under the National Union versus Merchants case and the Farmers case versus Griffin, where the court just looked at the pleadings themselves and said, you know, there's no allegation here of facts showing a causal connection between the bus as a vehicle inherently dangerous because of this reason or that, and the actual injury. And that's the case here. When you look back at the actual pleadings in this case, it talked about, Justice Medina hit one of those points well, they failed to screen him. Well, that's fine. That's a pretty clear premises liability, or excuse me, a general liability risk. The driver was negligent in infecting the people. Well, critical in that analysis is it doesn't say the bus was involved in affecting the people. This is not about a sick bus. It's about a sick driver. And there is a substantial difference between the two. There is another prong of that test, Chief Justice Jefferson, and that's the middle prong. Now, remember, the plaintiffs have the initial burden to prove that there is coverage, to bring forth evidence that there is, in fact, coverage. And that second prong says the accident must have arisen within the natural territorial limits of the auto and the actual use must not have terminated. We've already covered at least half of the people here in that bus who remarked about not incidents on the bus, but contact outside of the bus where this particular driver was coughing in their presence and they feared about to make them sick. But the critical analysis that we keep coming back to is, and under mid-century, had it not been for that gun in the gun rack at an entry point that was loaded, apparently without a safety, there's no question there would not have been an incident. In the case of Aisha's Learning Center, had it not been for that vehicle, and we all know an inherent risk of a vehicle in the summer, when you close it up in the hot sun, is it can suffocate people. And if you leave a child or a pet inside that vehicle, the vehicle itself causes the injury. It doesn't merely contribute to cause the injury, as that third prong of the mid-century test tells us.
Why is it the rifle like the bus driver?
I don't think it is like the bus driver. That's a simple answer to your question. A rifle is a loaded instrument. It can make a bus very dangerous.
Right, but you introduce it into the vehicle. Just as the driver was introduced into this bus, carries a risk inherent with bringing that person or that rifle into the vehicle. It seems kind of similar to me.
Well, I'm not here to tell you that these people can't recover from the driver. I'm not here to tell you these people can't recover from the tour bus company.
There was no recovery against the rifle either. That's my point.
But I am here to tell you there's no recovery under a business auto policy because the causal connection is just too thin. It stretches the line way too far. The Peck case, a dog bite in a car. Well, if it wasn't the dog being introduced into the car, the fellow wouldn't have gotten bit. The court says, no, that can happen anywhere. Aisha's, this whole subject of it getting so hot. The court says that can't happen in a park or a classroom.
You began by saying that there weren't any reported cases like this. Is that in the country?
Yes.
Because I was struck by the briefs, didn't cite any other cases. And frankly, one of the important factors in Lindsay was that the majority of the case law, it wasn't unanimous, but it was substantial, favored coverage in that case. And it doesn't seem like it ought to make any difference whether you're covered if you're shot in Oklahoma or you're shot in Texas or shot in New York. I mean, there's some argument to be made that it ought to be fairly standard around the country, and that was the last argument made in Lindsay, but it was an important one. But there are just not any cases like this in the country.
No, there's none, and we've handled thousands of transportation claims. And I think that's another reason. But if you have doubts, take a look further at this chart, because when the Lindsay case was decided, you'll find that the efforts of this young man to enter the vehicle directly caused the incident. Now, it wasn't about these people entering onto and off of the vehicle. Unless we're prepared to say that merely breathing on a vehicle is sufficient to give rise to liability under a business auto policy, the only result we can reach is that this matter should have been reversed and rendered. I have a minimum amount of time remaining, and I'm not going to try to cover everything in that time. I do want to mention one thing. Justice Wainwright has left us, and I think he ruled correctly in the Markell versus D.R. Horton case, that just because you have no duty to defend doesn't mean that there is automatically no duty to indemnify. But the cases still exist where there are no circumstances that can create a duty to defend under the facts, not the legal conclusions of negligence or it happened in a car as a result of the use of a car, then that doctrine is viable. And we respectfully submit to the court that one of the reasons duty to defend was so important in this case and never properly ruled upon by either the trial judge or the Court of Appeals was if you just get to the basics and look at this policy, you have to come to the conclusion there was never a duty to defend triggered, and for that reason as well, there is no duty to indemnify. I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. The court is ready to hear argument from the respondents.
May it please the court, Mr. George and Mr. Chapman will present argument for the respondents. Mr. George will open with the first 12 minutes.
May it please the court. Lancer claims that an auto policy can never cover liability for a bus driver negligently transmitting a communicable disease to a passenger. But the auto policy that Lancer issued specifically insured liability for disease that resulted from the use of the auto. Just 3 months ago in Global Intercom, this court reaffirmed that use of an auto is defined broadly, both in auto insurance policies and in commercial general liability policies. And this court has found use of an auto caused an injury in circumstances that are far removed from the typical auto accident.
Do you think it makes any difference whether it was a driver or a passenger?
I think it would make a difference in the sense of whether there would be liability to a certain extent.
Why is that?
Well, I think the bus, in this case, the bus driver knew he was sick. He didn't know what he had. He knew he was sick, and he went forward. That was negligent. It seems harder to find to cases where a bus company would be liable for a bus passenger negligently transmitting a disease.
Why, if it's vehicle insurance and you, it was just passing, maybe the chaperone had this same latent disease, or it could be anybody, but one person got it from another.
Well, I think we step back and the policy says it will pay if Garcia, Holiday Tours, or the other insureds are legally obligated to pay. Here, there are two insureds, the company and the bus driver, in addition, is an insured. They were sued for negligently allowing the transmission of the disease.
But what if it was a passenger and they knew that the passenger had a communicable disease, would there be liability in those circumstances?
There may be. I think in that case, if a bus company was negligent in allowing a passenger who it knew, you know, person came and says, I'm very sick, but I still want to get on the bus, and they allowed that, they may then have been held liable civilly, and there may be insurance. But I think that if we're looking at the relationship, I think that is a more difficult question, but I think it's much easier when is as here, I think it was Justice Medina pointed out, the bus driver is different fundamentally than a passenger. The bus driver is in some ways like part of the bus. He has to have specific licenses. The bus doesn't move without him, just like you have to have wheels and gasoline, you have to have a bus driver. So he is much more integral in a way, but I don't think.
I suppose it doesn't make any difference that it was a bus. It could have been a car.
Yes.
Well, Justice Green invites me to lunch and he's sick and I get sick, I might have a claim.
I think arguably one could. If the relationship is that the use of the auto causes the injury.
Then if that's true, it seems odd that there wouldn't be any cases on this anywhere.
There's no cases one way or the other. There's no cases, to be honest, I was very surprised when I first read Lindsay at the plethora of cases
right
on the shootings. There is really, yes, Justice.
I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the cases, because we're getting into that area. You know, there are cases throughout the country, some jurisdictions that treat the phrase resulting from differently than the phrase arising from. And can you point us to any cases that treat those two phrases the same and fail to distinguish?
Yes, there are cases on both. Both sides of that issue, and I think that that we definitely have. We have the...
Well, what I'm asking about is the ones that fail to distinguish.
I'm sorry, that...
Can you point us to cases that treat the two phrases the same?
Yes, if you give me one. We cover this in our brief around page 29. Your Honor, actually, it's off the top of my head, I don't remember the names. It's discussed actually in the brief of both the amicus of the insurance company and of the Lancer's brief. They recognize both and list the cases. There's one from Florida, for example, that show that they are no different.
And if you review that and see that it's not sufficient, would you supplement that, please?
Oh, yes, Your Honor. And I think what we have is, there's no question we have cases on both sides. Cases say resulting from means the same as arising out of. Cases say that they mean different things. But we also have Couch, which is one of the premier treatises, which says they mean the same thing. I think that leads to a conclusion that is ambiguous. When this many commentators on both sides can't agree on what words mean, that's good indication that it's susceptible to two meanings. When it's susceptible to two meanings, we have an ambiguity, and we go with the interpretation that leads to more coverage. In addition, I don't think that matters in this case. What this court has held before is that arising out of means that there is cause and fact or but for. That means that it would not have happened without it, plus it's a substantial factor.
Well, then let's say I'm not the passenger on the car. The bus driver has tuberculosis, and he infects a passenger on the bus, and then that passenger infects me, and I sue the corporation and the bus driver. Is there a duty to defend and indemnify on behalf of the insurance company in a case like that?
I'm saying, if I understand it,
I'm indirectly exposed. The bus driver exposes a passenger. I'm sitting in a building 10 miles away when the passenger comes and visits me, and that's how I get my exposure. Is that the use of a motor vehicle in such that the company would have insurance coverage?
I think that probably is getting a lot closer to the line and may go over because of the two areas. One is a substantial factor. You have to be, for both arising out of and resulting from, it has to be a substantial factor. The causal chain cannot be too attenuated, and we don't use the but for this, this wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened.
Would concede then that any passengers that were infected outside of the bus would have there would be no coverage for those lawsuits?
Well, two points on that, Your Honor. One is there's evidence of three passengers having seen him cough outside the bus. Nothing about them at a hotel seeing him. It was all on the outside when they were waiting to get on or get off, which I think would still be, the loading, alighting, and that kind of thing would be within the use. Second, that maybe we have the evidence that these passengers were on the bus. The Texas Department of Health says that's where they got the tuberculosis and the bus trip. That we may have a fact issue that the Court of Appeals determined we did not conclusively establish that it was on the bus they got it. There was a fact issue, and we'll have a jury and perhaps other people will testify, and the jury will determine, did they get it only off of the bus? If that were the case, depending, I think that one could say, even if it was not on the bus, but it was while waiting to get on or off while putting packages on or off, which is what the testimony was, we'd have coverage. If the if the jury were to believe that it was not during the time they were enclosed in a tube, recirculating air, breathing the air from the infected driver for hours and hours, but instead it was while passing briefly in the restaurant, I would agree at that point there would be no coverage. But we have a fact issue we'd ask the jury about that. And I think one point that was asked earlier about what was the accident. You know, what is the accident? I think there's several points to that. One is, that's an issue that the amicus insurance company group raised. That is not an issue in this case. It has been conceded that this was an accident. It's been repeatedly conceded that this was an accident. So there, and the accident is the...
Because it was the exposure to the conditions.
The negligent transmission of tuberculosis from the driver. So that's not, no longer an issue. Even if it were an issue, accident has been defined very broadly by this court. For example, in the Farm Bureau versus Sturrock case, a person got out of a car, caught his ankle on the door frame and fell, and this court determined that was an accident. So we have it as a very, very broad. And then I think if we also look at the issue of the Lindsay and the rifle and how that applies, I think that Lindsay is much more a attenuated relationship than we have in this case. Because in Lindsay, this court made clear it was not the movement of the truck that caused it. What we have is a truck is sitting still, a gun, which is a piece of personal property attached, not a fixture, you know, is put there. A boy climbs through the back window and jars the gun, and it fires, and it hits someone not even in that vehicle, but several vehicles over. The court made clear, Justice Hecton's opinion, that obviously there would be more causal relationship if the movement of the truck itself.
But you just said that there would be coverage if the passengers got tuberculosis while loading on the vehicle.
Yes.
While the bus driver's outside the vehicle, the air conditioner is not even moving. So.
Well, I think that's still related to the use of the vehicle. I think it's the inherent nature. But even if we set those aside, I think there's no evidence that that was the only contact. Those people who said they were off the bus loading and saw him, that wasn't their only contact. They then got on the bus and rode with him. But we don't have anything here. I think here the use of the bus, we have two ways we have the use causing it. One, we have the air conditioning system picking up the germs and moving them around. And then also we have the closed condition.
But to be clear, if the air conditioner hadn't been working, you would still make a claim.
Well, two responses to that, Your Honor. One, we have a closed condition, and so we think that would be sufficient. Second, I don't know if you would take a bus from South Texas with the non-working air conditioner in May, but it may be that if there were no air conditioner, there would be no tuberculosis for the passengers in the back. But we do have both, and it's clear that the air was taken, moved, and put back on the passengers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. Mr. George, Mr. Chapman.
May it please the court. I've been trying to write down a few of the answers to questions y'all have been asking. I'm only going to try and give one. What I thought was interesting was your analogy, Justice Green, in regards to the rifle. And this case is sort of about the edges of things, because things are made at the edges and not in the middle. And one of the edges is the Lindsay case. In that case, the rifle. In this case, you can analogize the bus driver to the rifle, but he's even more integral to the operation of a bus than a rifle would be to the operation of a car. And that sort of answers some of the other questions that were being asked as well.
This was a pickup in Texas now.
I understand. I was going to say we live in Texas, but in this particular case, we have a commercial vehicle that's being operated for transporting passengers. And in order to do that, the bus driver has to be commercially licensed. He has to pass certain tests, certain regulations, certain physical tests, all these things, because we're a common carrier. And perhaps there's not a higher duty, but there are additional laws and additional statutes. And if you look at the endorsements to the policy,
so you think there would be no coverage in the Heck Green scenario?
That was what I was leaning towards. I tend to think that there may not be coverage in that situation, depending on the language of the policy, because we always have to go back to that. And
the same language, why wouldn't?
In this particular case, anyone could drive a regular automobile. Your friend could be driving it. Your son can get in there. Grandma can get in there, start it up, and drive off. In this particular case, the bus driver was an integral part of the operation of this bus for its intended use. And its intended use was to transport passengers from one destination to another. This particular commercial vehicle requires the presence of a commercially licensed driver. There is a higher level, a higher standard, I would say, in effect, for those type of claims. The most analogous case I found, believe it or not, is the Aisha Learning Center case. And the reason that's analogous is you have a child in a van, you have an external source, the sun providing heat, and the van amplified that, as a van can do, or a bus. In this particular case, the van did not produce the heat, the sun did. In this case, the bus didn't produce tuberculosis, the driver did. The van itself, together with the hot sun, was the instrumentality of injury. That's what I'm talking about, the heat along with the van. Our whole case, or the whole case at trial, was that the bus recirculated the air, and it concentrated that air within the locus of the bus so that these passengers were exposed, and go figure, they all tested positive for TB down the road. And talking about the edges of things, in their brief and in their argument just now, they suggested that if we just purchased a better CGL policy, we wouldn't be here. Well, yes, we would be here maybe a few months back, and the name of this case would be Mid-Continent versus Intercom, and we'd be arguing about the auto use exclusion and the extent of that. So we've got, in one way, if you look at it, we've got Lindsay on one side and that case on the other, and where these things fit in the middle. And the court noted that in all its opinions. And what it says is that there's no particular, set of facts that are going to fit into every situation in this three-part test we've been talking about. It's not an absolute test, you say, in both Lindsay and in Intercom. It's a conceptual framework, and I like that language, because each one of these cases is decided on its facts. It's not a cookie cutter. Intercom has to be one of the most ridiculous set of facts I've read, with the ropes and the pulleys and the things. It sounds almost, if it weren't so tragic, out of a Charlie Chaplin movie or something. But in this case, we have a much more manageable set of facts, in that we have an instrumentality in the bus that is required for its operation. Let's imagine,
Mr. Chapman, can I interrupt you? I just want to be real clear on one question. The insurer did not defend. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. And one of the issues I wish to talk about here before my time is up is the duty to defend. And having written coverage opinions and looked at things like this before, this is actually a very, very simple analysis. Back when I used to work for Justice Holman, he always taught me to start at the beginning, and that's where we'll start. In terms of determining whether or not there's a duty to defend in this case, we have the eight corners rule. In this case, it's actually 16 corners because there were three petitions and one insurance policy. Two of the petitions, I will candidly say, are not the best well-written petitions. They sort of globally cover some issues. But it was the petition and intervention and I can't remember which one, but it's the second one that was filed, and I believe it was in April or May of 05. And it specifically alleged that the passenger were exposed to this disease in the closed environment of the bus and recirculated. It particularly raises that issue, and it was filed within 30 days of the original petition being filed. And so when you look at that claim in the analysis of what the Lancer policy covers, the Lancer policy will pay all sums an insured legally must pay as damages because of bodily injury or property damage, okay, caused by an accident or resulting from the ownership, maintenance, or use of a covered auto. Bodily injury is defined as, bodily injury means bodily injury, sickness, or disease sustained by a person, including death resulting from any of these. Defines accident. Accident includes continuous or repeated exposure to the same conditions resulting in bodily injury. We have a bodily injury. We have an accident as defined by the policy. Now, they want to say it didn't result from the use. And, well, we've come a long way arguing about use. It seems to me there may be a little doubt about whether this was in the operation or use category of the vehicle. And gee whiz, if there's doubt, that gets resolved in my client's favor. And that's the point here in terms of the duty to defend, is any doubts are resolved in our favor. And there's plenty of doubt in this case. And there's plenty of things that fit right within the categories of things that would be covered under the policy. Use, arising from, resulting on, that's questionable. But questions are resolved in our favor. And that's well-settled law, Your Honors. Finally, I'd like to point out that my clients paid a bunch of premiums for policies that apparently wouldn't cover this under any circumstance. And that's the public policy argument. You got to remember, it's not just our policy. It's covering our passengers, our common carrier passengers. Under their argument and reasoning, we would have to purchase a tuberculosis policy, okay? I don't think there is one. If there is, I'm betting the premiums, well, I don't know. It's such a rare disease. I don't know what the premiums would be, but I'm telling you that doesn't exist as far as I know. So what we have here is a CGL policy that wouldn't cover it because it's an auto use, and we have an automobile coverage that won't cover it because it didn't arise from use. Where does that leave everyone in this type of circumstance? And not every circumstance will fit into this analysis. Under your analogy, Your Honor, with driving Justice Green, it may not fit. It will depend upon the circumstances of every case. That's why you have come up with this conceptual framework. Thank you, Your Honors. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Counsel.
Mr. Bishop, I'm looking at the at the policy language that Mr. Chapman just went over. Pay damages because of one, bodily injury, caused by, two, an accident resulting from ownership, maintenance, or use. Are you disputing only the resulting from part of that, not bodily injury part, and not the accident part?
Well, we have to concede that because our policy defining bodily injury also covered sickness, that would be included.
So it covers bodily injury, and as for accident, the exposure, repeated exposure?
I think it raises a serious question, but rather than dancing on the head of that pin, we go to the more, I think, simple and direct question was...
Resulting from.
Yeah, and the issue very simply is, did this result from the bus or from a sick driver? And, you know, this court has a good way of applying common sense and practical reality to its opinions. And at the end of the day, we're here today because these people did not have a real general liability insurance policy. They had what was described in the record, a, quote, bare bones premises liability policy that didn't cover anything but a small office building in Corpus Christi. They sued the premises liability carrier, and they lost on those very grounds. They sued the agent for not getting in the right kind of coverage. We were the leftovers. And what we respectfully submit to the court, Justice Lehrman, I want to take up one point that you raised. First, we submit to the court that when you apply this simple arising out of test, this three-pronged test, Tuberculosis is not inherent in buses, and the bus itself didn't cause these seven out of a full busload to have tuberculosis. But what's more important than that, our language doesn't just say arising out of. It says resulting from. And Chief, I think you asked the question, or maybe it was Justice Heck, are there cases that talk about the difference? Yes, there are. There's a split of authority. Mr. Couch does not say, well, the rule is they mean the same. And this court, I submit to you, has gone very far in saying, you know, words mean something. An apple is not an orange. They're both pieces of fruit, but they're different. And resulting from is a more stringent standard, according to the Fifth Circuit, according to the Missouri Courts of Appeal, and according to the Mississippi Supreme Court, all of which we have cited. And what that standard means is this. The injury must be directly and proximately caused by the bus. It's not just a but-for test. It is a, this is what did it. And maybe my mind is too narrow, but I defy someone to say that a bus in and of itself produces and causes tuberculosis.
You just said there was a split of authority. Doesn't that fall right into the argument that's being made here that that those two terms are ambiguous?
No, I don't think it does. It just says that different states have different ways of dealing things. A lot of the states didn't much like Justice Heck's opinion in mid-century, but as he points out, this is Texas, and we have a little different way of looking at certain things.
How does the higher duty of care of a common carrier fit into this?
Well, I think it fits in very well with a general liability clause. I mean, what if the bus driver raped?
I mean, yeah, it's a commercial liability policy. I mean, it's obviously a bus company is a commercial carrier. So it's a common carrier, which everybody knows has a higher duty to its passengers than the ordinary situation. And so that would seem to the purpose would be to protect passengers from things like illness by being transported in those vehicles, wouldn't you think?
Not only do I think, I agree. But it's not a business auto policy risk. It's a standard liability policy risk, just like a rape, an assault on a bus. In regards as a state, the rape case that we cited in our brief. There's a lot of things that can happen on a bus, but they're not caused by a bus in and of itself. The bus may be incidental. It may have allowed the incident to happen. But in this case, that's what we have.
So a typical passenger getting onto a bus wouldn't have to be concerned about getting tuberculosis by getting on that bus.
That's right. If the bus company was insured the way 99% of them I defend are insured.
But if you did get tuberculosis, it's certainly not their fault.
It may be the bus company's fault. It's not the business auto insurer's responsibility. This case should be reversed and rendered. I thank the court for hearing us, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. That cause is submitted. That concludes arguments for this morning, and the marshal will adjourn the court.
All rise. Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yay. The Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned.